to the Superhero of Love podcast. I am Bridget Fonger. I wrote a book called Superhero of Love, Heal Your Broken Heart and Then Go Save the World. That book is going to be out in January 2019, but I didn't want to wait until that time to start talking to superheroes of love. And guess what? Here's the news. You are a superhero of love. And through talking to other superheroes like yourself, tapping into that little superhero inside of you, I'm hoping that you and I and all of us start feeling more and more like superheroes of love, meaning that we love and are loved more than ever before. So welcome. Let's get this party started. Okay, welcome, superheroes of love. We are sitting here in T. Chick McClure's gorgeous home. T. Chick McClure and Mary Jo Smith, who will be on a future episode, yay.
Yay.
But we are here with T. Chick McClure. Woohoo!
Hee-hee!
T. Chick McClure is an amazing artist. And if you want to check out his art while we are talking on this podcast, you can do that at
tchickphoto.com. Or tchickmcclure.com. You'll get to the same place.
Sweet. So you can listen to his dulcet tones while you look at his dulcet art. and not so dulcet art also.
Maybe not so dulcet art. Get ready for some dong action.
T. Chick McClure also, because my previous podcast was with Trudy Strobel.
Trudy.
And T. Chick McClure did Trudy's unbelievable portrait that you can see on Trudy's website and in Trudy's house, if you ever visit Trudy's house. It's now hanging on the wall beautifully.
Nice.
So T. Chick McClure, I invited on this podcast because this is a podcast about people who are taking care of heartache in such a way as to empower themselves and empower others. And T. Chick McClure's heart healing and heart empowerment is visible in his art as well. So I want to talk to you about your journey to where you are right now and how you managed to take care of your heart from being a very small child.
Well, I would say that I have not
into this day
really been fully self-expressed in my life until
wide open, expansive, gorgeous heart expressing
itself fairly recently. Something that you need to know about me is that I'm transgender, and I wasn't out about that until I wasn't out publicly about that until I don't know 2 or 3 years ago, and since getting to a place where I could be open about that, like that really sort of knocked the doors off of everything. And now I'm like free, and it impacted my art in a huge way and my life in a huge way. And I was just thinking about this the other day that, if I look back at my, my career path, I've always considered myself, or used to call myself, a shapeshifter, because I would reorganize my molecules at lightning speed to figure out who I needed to be for you to be the most acceptable version of myself. Mm. And I realized like recently that, oh, I've been doing that with my art too for my whole career till recently. So I went to art school and, to be a fine artist. And then when I got out, I sort of got stuck in the rut of making other people's stuff, and having to be a chameleon with whatever the art project was. I'd have to fit a certain style to execute whatever the project was. And then I sort of dropped my own stuff, almost like my art had no identity until I had an identity in my personal life by being open about being transgender. So my art was very tied down in, submerged in, I guess having some sort of skill to be able to execute some sort of version of whatever somebody needs done is great, but the self-expression as an artist was being tapped down for that whole time, and I just came to realize that, like, And so the being open about being transgender, I see has also impacted my art because I'm not stuck making other people's stuff anymore. It's like I'm making my own shit that I wanted to be making when I stepped out of art school. It just took me a long time to get there. But I'm there now, so
yeah,
that's great.
So let's talk about that. So the management of your heart during all the years leading up to this. So I get the shapeshifter. So basically what you did is you kind of like said, oh, heart, you need to go sit over here for a while.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to
manage. Sitting in the corner.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been sitting in the corner for a long time before I don't know if it was like a lack of valuing it or something, but probably, you know, like who would want to look at my, you know, my stuff or even now, like I can look at things and be like, I want to make something that it's almost like you try to make something look like something in this whole chameleon thing, but little bits of you are in there that you can't really completely suppress. But then when I look at, if I'm free of that now and I'm making my own stuff and I'm super happy about it, but what's cool, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I think like what's cool about it is that I'm just not bound down anymore. Like my style or whatever just comes out as whatever it is. I'm not in that chameleon sense trying to fit something. I'm just, my stuff's coming out and it looks the way that it looks, which I guess is my style. You can't avoid that, I guess, as an artist to some degree, unless you're being a chameleon trying to do everybody else's stuff. I don't know exactly what I'm saying, but
no, I
something
get that.
Something like that.
I got this image while you were talking of like a heart in a cage, and you went and you like unlocked the cage and you took the heart out and you're like, should we go play now? You know, like,
yeah, I hear that little door opening like yeah, and I always wanted to have access to that, but I never had access to it. It was so frustrating. It was such a frustrating experience being this artistic person that wasn't self-expressing my own thing.
Right.
It's really weird. Like, this is a recent realization, so I'm metabolizing it right now, right as we're speaking. Yeah.
I think that a lot of people, though, have that on various levels for different reasons. You know, it's like they can't let their heart out of the cage. Like,
yeah.
On some level, we all have our heart inside the cage at some point.
Yeah, so. It's such a frustrating experience. And even if you have awareness of it, even having awareness of it doesn't necessarily free your heart out of a cage. Like, I can be like, I'm working on all this stuff that has nothing to do with my own art. And that stuff takes precedence over my art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know that I'm doing that, but I'm still like, my heart is the sacrificial lamb. Almost in all cases.
Wow.
Like, others take priority still sometimes over what I'm doing. Although I am much better, much, much better at it. But like yesterday, this is an example. I was like, it was like the afternoon and I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go out and fucking find some windmills. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go find some windmills. Windmills is not necessarily what I shoot in photography, but I'm like, I have got to put this shit aside and I have to go work on something that is mine. Like, I just have to. So I got in the car, packed all my shit, and drove out to 2.5 hours outside of Los Angeles to Mojave.
Oh my God.
To go take pictures of windmills in golden hour. I'm like, I have to get the fuck out of here and do this right now.
Oh my God, that is so cool.
So, like, I'm better in many ways at...
So your heart cried out and you listened to your heart, demanded it. Right.
Yeah, demanded it.
Just in a nutshell for the listeners, if anybody else is having this heart in the cage situation, number one tip from Chick is listen when your heart screams out, just drop everything and listen if you can.
Yeah. Yeah,
of course. If you're taking care of a little baby, and
oh right, take the baby with you.
Take the baby with you to the windmills. It's a modern day Don Quixote.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. And so, and I mentioned Mary Jo at the top. Mary Jo, tell us who Mary Jo is and tell us how Mary Jo played a part in this. Because it just feels like there's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, things are a process of, you know, having your heart awaken and get freedom. But. So Mary Jo is essentially my wife, although we're not married yet. We're engaged. We've been engaged since 2012. It's been a while. But so she is my significant other person who I love very much. But before she and I met, like, I was a total disaster. I was a complete disaster. Drinking myself to death. Like, I mean, it was bad news. It was super bad news. And I think it was just a matter of, like, I was not an authentic person. I wanted that desperately.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't an authentic person. So, but she was the first, woman I had ever dated. So I got real about that. So I don't know. It's been this, like, steady sort of process of getting, of unfolding these coverings, these things that are covering me up. You know, I'm just gradually removing all this shit that is covering me over.
Mm.
And you know, I'm out in the fucking sun now. Like, I'm not in a dirt pile. I don't drink. I don't. You know,
you're not trying to cover up, actively trying
no,
to cover
I'm not
up anymore.
Hiding. Yeah. I'm not hiding who I am.
And don't you think, I mean, I feel like she, from the moment you met, loved you for you exactly as you were and exactly
yes.
as you were not. Like,
yes, 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 yes. I mean, and that, yes, and that she could see through some of the stuff that was going on at the time, like the drinking.
I love the story when you were sitting on the, when you first went to her apartment.
We had essentially been dating before we realized that we were dating, and she had been out of town in New York, and she was flying back, and we were supposed to get together when she got back, but her flight was very, very delayed, so she was going to get in after midnight, and I was like, don't worry, I'll be there. So she got in late. I went over to her apartment anyway, and I was still drinking at this time, but so was she, and I guess maybe I don't know. We were both, like, having some drinks, realizing that something was going on, but each of us was really afraid to say it out loud because neither one of us had copped to it yet.
And neither of you had dated a woman before.
Right. Mary Jo hadn't, and I hadn't. So we're, like, pouring drinks down our gullets, and Mary Jo's like, I don't know what's going on here, but I think, like, she just laid it out. And I was like, me too, like, making these dumb symbols with my... drunken sign language. I'm just glad that she said it first. So I think there's something going on here. Oh yeah, me too. Thank goodness. It was so super dumb, but I love how it went.
Yeah,
I love how it went.
Romantic and
yeah.
sweet.
And she knew that I was transgender. Also, I should say, like, much sooner than, I mean, she's known. Hmm. Pretty early on when we got together. So, but yes, that thing about, like, her seeing me for who I actually yeah. was, like, getting through those coverings and seeing, like, who this person actually is yeah. like, I'm fucking lucky. I'm super yeah. lucky that
no,
happened.
It's a blessing. I think that's a blessing when somebody from the outside, and sometimes we don't notice that that's what that person's role is that's come into our life. It's like, so I'm just throwing this out there that when you have somebody in your life that loves you exactly as you are and exactly as you aren't, you know, hang
yeah.
out with that person.
Yeah, that person, that's a good person to stay connected to.
Because your heart will feel more safe to
yeah.
open up and
that's
let it out
the
of the
other
cage.
Thing,
will
too.
Will you help me open this cage? Oh, sure, I'll help you. Oh, this lock is on really tight.
Yeah, that's yeah. Undo- yeah, well, that is something... definitely the some, you know, like, the person that you should hang out with. Sorry, we might gonna have to edit this part out because I just lost my thought.
Oh, no. No,
Wait, what did you just say? You said something very...
Oh, okay. Letting your heart out, being with somebody that you feel safe with, so you don't let the heart out.
Oh, the safety thing. Okay. Yes, the safety thing. I don't know how things would have gone... They're going so swimmingly now. Like, I don't know that I would have felt safe enough without Mary Jo to be open about being transgender. Who knows? I could still be hiding.
Right.
Thankfully, I'm not. I mean, the contrast for how it is when you're hiding versus when you're not is so incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like, there is safety in that safety thing is a big deal. Like, I feel secure. Like, she knows who the fuck I am, has always known who I am, regardless of the transgender stuff. But, like, there's safety in that. Like, I can move in a space like that. So, yes, if there's anybody in your life that gives you that safety feeling, fucking hang out with that person.
Yeah.
Right?
Even if it feels boring. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes if you're screwed up a little bit, and your heart has been in a cage for a long time, it feels boring.
Yeah.
If you're with somebody that loves you exactly as you are and exactly as you aren't. I wanted to talk also about, now I'm losing my thought. I wanted to talk about two things. I wanted to talk about how this is manifesting in your art. So let's do that one right now.
Okay. Well, as I was saying earlier, like, most of my creative endeavors were wrapped up in being a chameleon for other people's style, other people's, you know, to execute whatever that project was. Now that I am openly transgender and transitioning, I'm in a medical transition, my art has opened up and I'm making work that's about transitioning and about, more so about, like, my feeling about, like, what I see versus what maybe is seen on the outside. So there's some sort of, like, internal thing that's becoming external in the art now that is not, it's not, like, it's not polluted by any other person's experience. I feel like it's, like, new territory for me. So it's, like, exciting. It's, like... you know, there's, like, for example, if anybody's looking at the website, like, I wanted to do this series where I was projecting images of men onto my body as it was prior to having chest surgery. And so the
chest surgery, let's just interject here, was a huge,
so huge, too huge.
Cancer.
TWOT. Huge.
Too huge. TOO. That's good. TOOTWO. Yes.
Yes, they were massive. Massive, massive. And I had huge dysphoria over it. And I guess I should say that too. Like, the work has a lot to do with that dysphoric feeling. So, who I see or saw when I look in a mirror is completely different from who I appeared to be on the outside. So I was trying to, in this work, communicate what that was. So I took images of cisgendered men, which, and cisgender is just basically, like, somebody who identifies in agreement with the gender they were assigned at birth. So I projected images of cis men onto my body that was very female at the time and got this very interesting sort of blending of gender.
Yeah, they are extraordinary. You have to check them out.
Yeah, and thank you.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, like, that particular work really speaks to me and speaks to what that experience is, like, seeing something completely different than what you actually appear to be on the outside to others. I don't know. It's this weird,
it makes sense.
Experience. And, you know, anybody that has body dysphoria, and I imagine that that's a lot of people, whether it's, like, with weight or gender or whatever, displeasure or whatever it is with being dysphoric around your body. Like, I think anybody that's experienced that could probably get something from looking at this stuff, whether they are struggling with gender or not.
Right. struggling with the body in question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's painful to not be like part of what you're seated in, you know, yeah. Like, ugh. Like I've always felt like I was a brain in a jar. Like I'd rather be a brain in a jar. Like have no.
Oh my God. That's like, such a great image. So there's a brain in a jar and a heart in a cage.
Very divided up, very compartmentalized.
Right. I remember what my previous question was, which is, you know, we live in Los Angeles, which is a pretty diverse and liberal environment to live in as a transgender person. So and you also have the beauty of being able to express your pain and your joy through your art. So I just wanted to talk to those people, you know, somebody that may be struggling with being transgender in a small town or something, you know, like, which is, as you just said, it's speaking to everyone because we all have a piece of ourselves that is disconnected. And
yeah.
So have you, and I know that you do a lot of work in the transgender community and you talk to people all over the country. So I just wanted to.
Well, I grew up in a place that I had to leave to feel comfortable. I don't know that that is available to every person, but I don't know. Like, it's hard to be anywhere, regardless of population, if you don't have some kind of support system, especially like if you're going to medically transition, because there's a period of time where people can't really get a bead on you and you're conspicuous, you know, like people are trying to figure you out, and that's super hard. You know, I just, whoever the support people are in your life, like you gotta form like almost like your own family, your own like army to support you and stuff. Otherwise I would just get thee to a city. I'm sorry, that might not be a solution for everybody.
Yeah, no, it's right. I wonder, there must be services to help transgender people.
Yeah, there are more and more. There are resources online. I can put a list together if you want to include that with the podcast.
Absolutely, that's great.
Yeah, there. And now that like it's a topic of discussion, at least it's not something that is so, I mean, there's still taboos to it. And, you know, I've lived in cities since I, you know, as quickly as I could get my own ass to a city. Yeah. But I think like that we're now even discussing it in the open is making it, it's starting to be the wave that
normalizing least, it.
Yes. Right. Normalizing it. And yeah. I was thinking even really, I think this week, like, it's very cool that it's becoming something that we discuss. Oh, this was this morning. Yeah. Somebody told me that they know somebody who is transitioning, and it just occurred to me like, oh, like, yeah, now that this is becoming something that we talk about, it's going to be discovered that there are, I mean, it just is. It's going to be discovered that there are so many more of us.
Mm-hmm.
That are part of the human, part of like human beings,
right?
That just have not been open about it.
Right.
Like suddenly the percentages are going to start growing, and it's not because people are like, oh, you know, like it's just people have not. I mean,
felt
it's been
comfortable
a,
in their bodies.
No,
all
and
this
it's
time.
Been a danger. It's been a dangerous yeah. thing for a really long time, and it still is. I mean, the I can't remember what the murder rate is for transgender women of color. It is,
oh my God.
Astronomical.
Oh my God.
So still, like, it's not, we're talking about it and that's great, but there is a risk to your personal safety, so that we need to make that shit better. That's crazy. I mean, I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's unbelievable. Whatever it is, it's really high.
Oh my God. So speaking about like taking care of your heart when you don't even feel safe in venturing down that road. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good that we're talking about and normalizing it. That's, I think that's really important. Like, Because it is, I mean, we're humans, we're complicated beings, you know, there's gender, there's sexuality, there's, I mean, there's a whole spectrum, and to completely isolate and push away one group, that's just crazy. It's crazy.
Another piece of your story that I really love is the story about your dad. And I'd love for you to share that, because it's kind of like you can, I think that we can make these decisions. I was just thinking yesterday, my dad passed away in 2009, but I was just on my dog walk yesterday thinking of a place where I made a decision about him. And I found out, like, right before he died that that was not true. You know, like, I made some assumption about him, and I'm so glad I found out that that assumption was untrue.
And And that's been my experience, too, with my own father. And, you know, we grow up and we develop a history with these. Oh, that's my dog.
Hey, Cece
is cisgender.
We Cece, at least we believe so. We believe she is.
Oh yeah, she hasn't.
She can't tell us, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
She looks super comfortable in her body and fully self-expressed.
She's very self-expressed at all times. See? Self-expressing. But anyway, yes, back to your question. Like, we all grow up and we have these people that we call parents, and
I love that phrase, people that we call parents. It's so great. They are people. It's but so we weird forget, that they're people.
Yeah, we forget that they're people, and they have their own history, and they have their own evolution, too. So who my father may have been in 1984 is somebody that he has evolved from today. Like, so with whatever our upbringing is, we get our own history and all this stuff. But, yeah, like, I haven't really thought of the people that I call my parents. I haven't really thought of them as people until actually probably in the timing of when I started my own transition. Yes. So I made a lot of assumptions about who my father was. Some facts are that he watches Fox News every day. Some facts are he is a Republican. Some facts are he is a conservative. Another fact is that he is a military guy. Another fact could be he's a cowboy. Like, these are facts. So I took all those facts, plus the history of maybe things that he has made statements about in the past, and decided who he was and what he could tolerate as a person. Like, just in particular dealing with coming out as transgender to my father, which was terrifying because I had made this assumption about who he was, and that he was not going to be able to accept this. He would, you know, we would never speak. Like, I was sure that that was going to happen. And and he surprised the shit out of me. I don't know how much he understands about being transgender, but we can talk about it. And he just said, like, there's nothing that you could do or say that would cause me not to love you. And it was like so beyond what I thought he was capable of. Like, I mean, I just don't even think I can express how sure I was that this was the end of things. And on the one hand, I was like, good, at least this will finally be over. Like, you know, at least this weird relationship that we have, where I'm shape-shifting, that's the other thing. I have a part in the relationship that we had together because I was being a shape-shifter. I couldn't let him know who I was, so he didn't know who I was ever. So it was uncomfortable for me, and then I sort of, like, put the blame on him in a way, not taking ownership of my own. I mean, I was shape-shifting because of assumptions that I had come to about who he was as a person based on things that he'd said in the past. And about these facts. But I can't have an authentic relationship with anybody if I'm shape-shifting, including with my father. And all I ever wanted to have was a relationship with my father that was enjoyable on some level. And that could not happen until I stopped shape-shifting. So I took the risk and fucking told him. And he came back and with the complete opposite of what I thought he was able to do. I thought he was incapable. And I was super wrong about that. I'd made a huge assumption. And that's not the only time. Like I said earlier, I said that I had never dated a woman before. And when I told him that I was dating a woman, that was another thing that, I mean, that was a few years prior to the coming out as trans, but that was another thing I thought that he couldn't tolerate. And I was wrong about that too. Now that's not to say that everybody, I'm no poster child for anybody's experience. I you know, relationships with people who we call our parents are complex. I'm lucky that it turned out the way it did with my parents, who are people. But I really get that now too, because when, well, that's the other thing that was very cool about like coming out with my father about being transgender. He came for a visit right around that time, and like he was being totally him, like in a different way than he had ever been before, like talking about pretty like deep shit in a frank manner, like,
wow.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, it was cool. Like, it's like I showed my cards, he showed me his.
Right.
You know?
And this is such a great lesson that it only takes one person to transform a relationship.
Yeah. And you can't do it if you're not being fucking real.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible. And I think it's impossible to have an actual relationship if you're too afraid to be who you are. Like, because you're not presenting that person with any truth. Like, how can they react to that? I mean, right.
And we also all sense that too when somebody's not being real. We're not, I'm like, it's just a whole jumble of crazy when just one person isn't being real, then the other person isn't being real. And even if you're not even conscious of it, you're just all being wackadoodles. Yeah.
totally. And then talk about the weather, and that's it.
Yeah. You know,
or whatever.
So I was talking to my mother the other day on Mother's Day, and she is problematic. And there's a mental situation, a mental health situation. Mm-hmm. And I usually have a really hard time because I just want her to not be mentally ill.
Oh, yes.
So the whole conversation, like my mantra inside is, please don't be this way. Like that's, I'm having a conversation, but underneath I'm just going, please don't be this way, mom. Please don't be this way, mom. Please don't be this way, mom. And I just had a pretty like normal conversation where I was not doing that in this conversation. And I was just trying to be kind.
Yeah.
That's all I was going for. Like, just be kind. It's Mother's Day. Just be kind. Like in my thoughts and in my words. So my words are usually pretty kind. But the inside I was trying, so that mantra went away because my new mantra was please be kind, Bridget, please be kind, Bridget, please be kind, Bridget. And I was like, I hung up the phone and I was like, I can do that. I can just be kind. It can just,
it doesn't have to be flavored with
trying to change
her
or me.
Don't be the way
me.
You are.
Don't be the way you are. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of don't be the way you are with parents, I think.
Yeah. And but I think it goes the other way too. Yeah. Like, you know, at least that I always sense that from, well, this goes back to history though. Like in the past, my father may have said something that gave me the signal that I'm not okay as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we pick that up and we go forward.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Internalize it. And then run forward with it as though your person who you call your parent is not going to evolve from that space.
That's such a great lesson. That is such a great lesson. Because we're so proud of our own evolution, but we assume that they stopped dead in their tracks the minute they popped us out.
Yeah.
That evolution stopped.
Yep.
My evolution is still going.
Yes.
Because I'm so much better than you.
Totally. But they evolve too. They evolve too. So. And I often forget that. I'll forget that right when this is done.
Right. it.
Yeah, what were we talking about? I don't know. Oh, but here's something that's very cool. So another example of like my father accepting me for who I am, like he called me a few months ago and was like, you know, I really want to go on this road trip. Why don't we go on a road trip? And in the past, I would have been like, oh, fuck. God damn it. How am I going to get out of this? Like, I feel like I have to say yes because I'm obligated to. And now it's like, fuck yeah, let's go on this fucking road trip. I'm going to go on a fucking road trip with my Fox watching conservative Republican
cowboy
military dad. And
it's gonna be
we're going to be fucking real.
Right.
We're going to be, now he'll get, I'm positive he'll get my pronouns wrong because he.
Oh, he's still getting the pronouns. Well, so well, am I yeah, sometimes. I mean, so.
Well, yes, but I think that he, you know, he hasn't gotten to witness this physical thing
right.
in person. Right. So he's getting pictures and stuff and talk about things. But, you know, he, I think he hasn't had access to possibly, now I may be making assumptions again, but, you know, like maybe need to mourn a loss of who he thought his daughter was. Mm. Yeah. So I don't know, but we'll work it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give him the space to.
Well, you've said, I thought that was so beautiful. Like I was, I haven't done it really recently. I'm hoping I'm done with the pronoun mixing up, but I'm not sure that I'm done. But you've been so kind about it. It makes me cry. I mean, like you're so sweet about it for those of us that are just like so stupid.
it's not a matter of being stupid though.
You said it's a transition for you too. So yeah, we're all having a transition, which is so beautiful.
We all are. We all are. And I want to give people room to, you know, get there too. Cause I'm getting there, like, so everybody's got to have their chance to get there. I mean, that's the way I view it.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And I just realized something, which is like, you know, it's like putting your own oxygen mask on first. You have to take care of your own heart first. And it's like, when you take care of your own heart, then you can help take care of other people's hearts.
Yes.
Right? Like those people around you that's like, I always feel so bad when I screw up those pronouns, right? I just beat myself. I know. and you are just like, it's a transition.
Yeah.
Take care of your heart. You know what I mean? But if when you find yourself not taking care of the hearts around you and people are getting triggered left and right, it's probably because you're not taking care of your own heart.
Yeah.
Because you stepped into, and I know Mary Jo is a big part of that too, like you said, creating that safety net, creating that safe place for your heart, and then you can step into holding your own heart, and then you help the community hold their hearts.
Yes.
Because it is a community.
It's the rings of a tree for sure. I mean, it's a ripple thing for sure. You've got to. And then you can radiate out.
Yeah.
But if you're not taking care of your own heart, then what you're radiating out is like,
yeah,
you know, I want to be like, you know, nice.
And you are very, very nice. That is one thing I think we can all say about Chick. You're very, very nice and very, very talented. Is there anything else you want to talk about your art? Because your art is so exciting and so you. Right now, so
yeah, I just I'm getting ready to do this next sort of phase where and I haven't like technically figured out how I'm gonna execute it yet, but I'm gonna be like, it's the afternoon and I gotta fucking yeah. I gotta get the ass to Mojave and take a picture of windmills. No, I'm trying to use that as a dumb analogy, but
no, windmill analogy is good.
Yeah. But I'm going to be shooting something that has to do with memory and who I was internally in history, if this makes sense. So it doesn't make sense.
Like a seven-year-old. The seven-year-old you?
Yeah, that would be an example. So I'm going to do this series. I'm getting ready to do this series that has to do with projecting myself as who I was actually in history. In terms, so it's another gender piece, but it's going to be, I don't know, it should be
very
exciting. I'm excited about it because I don't know. It just,
it's thrilling.
There's something about it that
very exciting.
And I have all of these, you know, like you get your home photo, your family photos and stuff like that. And so those are going to be incorporated. So I think like, and also as to be like a touchstone to those memories, but then also like present them in a way that is like, but I was a little boy, like in my case,
right?
A little boy right. in this memory.
You so, didn't know that, but I was a little boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sort of like,
I was the only one.
I'm recording the, I guess I'm recording the actual history. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but I hear a little clicking.
Cisgender. cisgender clicks.
That's Cece. She's cisgender. Cece gender.
When you just said that thing about the little boy, I just realized, my God, that must have felt so lonely. Did you feel?
Oh my God. I was the loneliest little kid.
Oh my God.
I was the loneliest little kid. I was lonely. I was so lonely. Yeah. I felt very. And we moved a lot because my father was in the military. So when I would like make connections with people, finally, and I was always like super socially awkward and yeah, I mean, nothing is a surprise, but like, yeah, very lonely, super lonely. And then never feeling like I was seen for who I actually was, you know, like, yeah, like I felt unseen and alone and, you know, that was...
That's painful. Yeah.
That's pain. Yeah, it was painful, but it informs who I am today. So I'm, you know, not that excited for that little person, but now it's making the best of it.
Yeah, like I'm a child of divorce. Same thing. It's like, don't feel sorry that I, you know, child of divorce. It made me who I am.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
The good, bad, and the ugly. It's all.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, I think that was a really good conversation for just about everyone. Like, you don't have to be transgender to really
get a lot
of wisdom from you. So
yeah, that's the other thing, too. Like, you know, they say, on my journey, my transgender journey, we're all on a journey. All of us are on a journey. You know, like, all of us are evolving, including the people we call our parents. And
I still don't get that one, but okay.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, enjoy your transformation, everybody. It's exciting stuff.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
All right, you guys, check it out again, teachitphoto.com and
teachitmcclure.com. You'll get to the same place.
Yeehaw!
Woohoo! If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do that at teachitphoto.
And Twitter?
Teachitphoto. And Facebook? Teachitphoto.